Welcome to the King James Bible Seminary. My name is Myron Boffman. I'll be your instructor today in the Word of the Lord. We're in the Writings of Paul class. Today we're at 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We've made our way to verse 8. So if you'd be so kind as to turn to 1 Corinthians 13 verse 8, we'll get started with today's lesson, which is entitled, Charity Never Fails. I'd like to welcome everybody here that's showed up. We have a few places empty. This is an average length lesson, so won't go over time like some of ours do. Everybody found their place in their Holy Scriptures? All right, let's get started with, we're going to start with verse 8, but it does involve the rest of the chapter because of the context. We always have to consider context when you take one or two verses and go from there. The problem a lot of times is that going from there leaves the context totally out or behind. And that's how people go astray, sadly. 1 Corinthians 13:8. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. End quote. This outstanding chapter has some astonishing claims. It goes completely against the modern rule of never say never. The practicality of not ever using the word never is questionable when used in conjunction with Scripture, however. We may not know the future or understand prophecies very well, so applying never to these subjects should only be used on a limited basis. Now let's take a brief look at this chapter and see just how it defines charity. Paul starts out this chapter talking about the importance of having internal charity, not just outward actions of charity. Quote, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. End quote. That's verses 1 and 2 of chapter 13 here. The importance of having charity in your heart is here clearly described as outweighing outward things. When he talks about it further, he states that it makes other gifts to be nothing if it is missing. Having the gift of prophecy and understanding not just it, but having all knowledge sounds really awesome, but yet nothing if there is no charity in the heart. We see also in these and the following verses that these things don't make up charity. Quote, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. End quote. That's verse 3. So, we see that giving away even everything we own doesn't really profit us at all, though it may temporarily help others. Now, not only that, but Paul adds that if we give not just our possessions away, but our whole selves, body and soul, it still profits us nothing. Real charity is something else than giving. Paul helps us out by describing to us what real charity is like. Okay, let's take a look at that. Quote, charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, doesn't exalt itself, is not puffed up, does not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. That's verses 4 through the beginning of 8. So, real charity has these attributes, and anyone who has real charity has these testifying qualities, though not perfectly, being that nobody is perfect here on earth. The only one that's perfect here on earth was Jesus Christ. Sadly, many charitable institutions and those who run them fall far short of this biblical standard. Modern charitable institutions are usually not run like charitable institutions, but businesses. A true charitable institution will have all volunteer workers who are there out of love and concern of others, not just for a paycheck. We are not here to condemn institutions that do humanitarian work, but that should be realized that they are humanitarian, not necessarily charitable. Charitable work, to be true biblical charitable work, is done for the right reasons, not necessarily monetary reasons. There is a difference. In common terms, love must be the driving force behind a true charitable drive. Doing these things to help because it will accomplish something, because it will profit in the long run, or because it is a stepping stone of visible achievement, those all aren't really charitable reasons. As Paul clearly states, though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing, end quote. Shows clearly those are two different things. Doing something for someone else generally is considered to be charitable in modern thinking and can be with the right motivation. Christ brings this point home in Luke chapter 6, verses 34 and 35. Let me read that to you. Quote, and if ye lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what thank ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love ye your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the Most High, children of the Highest, for he is kind. Now, this is important right here. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. That means he's kind to us. So the bottom line isn't the main consideration in true charitable work or true Christian giving. If we honestly examine ourselves and our ways of doing things, then we come to the realization that we all fall miserably short of God's standard. As it says, quote, For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. End quote. That's found in Isaiah 55, verse 9. That which is in ourselves fails, as Paul further points out in 1 Corinthians 13, quote, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. It's found in verse 8. Here, then, in order for us not to fail, Paul shows us a transition. Quote, for we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. And now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know even as also I am known. End quote. That's verses 9 through 12. Paul points to the doing away with the things of the flesh, the things of spiritual immaturity, and pressing on to the heights intended for each of us in Christ. At the new birth, we are born again as babes in Christ, but we don't stay that way. Our spirit matures along with our understanding and conduct. So now, with Christ in our hearts and lives, we see more clearly as time goes on what Paul is getting at here in this chapter, until we are perfected at last in Christ. We can substitute the word Christ in each place in this chapter where the word charity is and get the right idea. Christ is the embodiment of charity. If you remember, greater love hath no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. So there is no greater love than Christ. Christ has the greatest love. Greater love hath no man than this, which is exactly what Christ did for us out of love. He did it for the right reason that was found in him. Let us not think that because we understand this intellectually, that we actually have grasped it spiritually. Often that is a big jump from intellectual assessment to hiding it and binding it in one's own heart as the centerpiece of motivation. Paul finishes his masterpiece of inspiration in verse 13, quote, and now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity, end quote. The word there translated as charity isn't just love, as most modern translations put it, but agape, or God's love. It is his kind of love that comes from him. When you think of the real definition of agape, one must consider all the words and actions of Christ to begin to finally grasp its depth. One attempt to bravely describe in human terms the unfathomable depth of God's love for us is found in this little hymn written by Frederick Laymon. Should be all familiar with you. Y'all familiar with this, right? Y'all familiar? Yes, okay. The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The wandering child is reconciled by God's beloved Son. The aching soul made whole and priceless pardon won. Oh, the love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints' and angels' song. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above, would drain the oceans dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. To quote another song, St. Matthew's Passion by J.S. Bach, one reads this line, quote, Lord, let me never, never outlive my love for Thee, end quote. When one realizes that 1 Corinthians 13's charity or love is the love of Christ in our heart, one doesn't have to worry about outliving our love for Him. Though our hearts be fickle, Christ's love for us doesn't ever waver. Sometimes human love can come and go, and circumstances smother affections. But an unfaltering attribute of God is His faithfulness. He is faithful in His love and care over us, His children. We will never be orphans and without family when we are in Christ. Things may change, fail, or fade away, but the love of God to us in the Beloved never fails. We can trust His love as the eternal truth that comforts us even in the worst of times. His charity to us never fails. Let's close this lesson with a word of prayer, please. Let's bow. Thank you. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Your wonderful love and how that is beyond our understanding and description, that we just cannot fathom it entirely. We thank Thee for sending Thy Son to die on the cross for us, and that was a mission of love. We thank Thee for the Holy Spirit that teaches us of this love and instills it in us and causes it to grow. Pray now that You will help us in our lives, that we will share that love with others and to cause that love to grow in our hearts. Forgive us for our sins and faulty thinking and iniquity and failing Thee each day that hinders that love. Pray now that You'll just be with the requests that we have, though they be many, Your grace is much bigger than the list. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem and for the repentance of our nation. We pray now that You'll be with each member of our family and the listeners and the classroom here. And we pray that You will just bless each one. Help us, Lord, to honor and glorify Thee in what we say and do with thanksgiving. For it is in Christ's holy name we pray these things. Amen. Thank you very much. Discussion time, folks. Thank you.